If you expect me to lay hands on you, put oil on you, don't expect it. If you expect me to prophesy over you, don't expect it. How you like that? Because if you only come for loaves and fishes, you come for the wrong reason. If you only come for the goosebumps and the guinea eggs and the woo, you come for the wrong reason. Go stick your finger in an electric socket. You'll get a shock. Just don't stand in the water to kill you. If you come expecting that, I'm telling you, don't. Let me say this. God has uniquely, divinely made an appointment for everybody that has stayed in this building thus far. He has. It's His appointment. If you don't make it back another night, He's made an appointment for you tonight. I got to tell you this before I go any further. You're unique. You're special. He divinely appointed that time in your life when you had an encounter with Him. Everything is working out good for you, even though it's rotten. You like that, didn't you? He did too. You know, when you first came in tonight, you know how tired you felt? And all of a sudden you came alive. I mean, you were really like, you know, and I'm not knocking you, dude. I've been there. You know, like that guy's boring the mess out of me. But the Spirit of God spoke to my heart when you woke up. That He woke you up for the rest of this so He could help you. Help you in here. I'll just tell you, in here. Because in here, all hell has been breaking loose. In here, a flood of hell has been a deluge. And God said He woke you up. And that's what He says to tell you He's going to do to you spiritually. He's about to breathe on you and wake you up. And He's going to show you just where you have let things in. The things that bomb you. The things that torment you. The things that fight you. He's going to show you how to shut some doors. I mean, not just shut them. It's almost like weld them up where they don't ever open up again. And what nobody else will know happens, you'll know it. I mean, you'll question yourself first, like, what? Did that really? But when you woke up, when the Spirit of God woke you up, it was like the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, I woke him up so I can wake him up spiritually. So I want to tell you that if that don't line up, you can tell Pastor Chuck or Jesse or whoever, tell one of those guys, that guy's a liar, or you can rebuke me right now and I'll sit down. I don't have to take no money. I'm not here for the money. I'm not here for nothing. If you ask me why I'm here, I got off the airplane and told Jesse, I don't know why I'm here. Do I feel like being here? I said, I don't feel like I need to be here. Do I feel like I'm spiritually like a super saint with two S's tattooed on my chest, able to lead carnal Christians with a single bound? No! No! I feel like, hi, I'm Troy. I come to preach in Jesus' name. But I know who I am. And they may take my coat from me every now and then. And I may feel like I'm in a prison. And I'm locked up. And my gifts are bound up. And I'm not ministering.
Hold on a second.
Woo-hoo! You say, why'd you do that? I didn't do it for you. I didn't do it for him. I did it for me. Say, why? I still hear God because I just want to tell you, I feel like I've been in a prison for the last 8 years pastoring my church. Do you know this is the first full, far away revival I preached in 9 years? That God, Pastor Chuck, when He shut the door, Can I bare my soul to you for a minute? Just for a minute? God told me something. Said, I'm going to give you $30,000. Now, before you think I'm a money preacher, I'm not. I was in a little bitty church about this size right here in Ohio. And I made that statement. I said, you know, God tell you the weirdest things sometimes. So he's going to give me $30,000. And a man gets up and walks out. I thought I offended somebody. The next day, I'm called to eat lunch. When I walk in the Mexican restaurant, it's that man. Come to find out, he got sick 3 minutes before I said that. So sick that he threw up on outside. He was a pastor. He said, when you said $30,000, this was October. He said, December will be a year. God said there's going to be a man come preach for you. You're going to give him $30,000. He said, we've got $18,000 waiting on you. Are you ready to start revival? I called my evangelist this morning and canceled him. I didn't have another place to preach for the rest of my life. This is how God works. I preached that revival. $33,000 come in. I took 30. I didn't take the 33. I'm not trying to sound self-righteous. God said 30. He didn't say 33. Gave the other back to the church. Went my own way. And started the church where I'm at. I lived November, December, January, February, March, and April without taking any pay from anywhere and started the church. I'd have never been able to do that. Start the church, furnish the church, do everything without God giving me what people told me. It ain't going to happen. I know I messed with some of y'all when I said money just then. You see, you were with me because you just think God's all great and gracious and everything until you say something about money. But God is about to promote Joseph to where he is the executor of Egypt. He's about to take a podunk little boy out of nowhere. How you doing, folks? And promote him, because while he's in prison, he's got two guys that have dreams. Oh, by the way, guess what you find in prison sometimes? You find dreamers. Every now and then you run across some crazy people who dream with you. One of these days when I get out, I'm going to... You run into them 20 years later and you go, what you doing, man? Oh, I'm not doing time no more. Matter of fact... I love it. I ran into a guy up in Ohio. Narcotics trafficking. Got him. 30 kilos. The church prayed for him. Got off. Hook, line, sinker. Got off. Just let it go. You say it didn't happen. It happened. Dude said, I don't know what happened. They prayed for me. Next thing I knew, when I went for a judge, he said, you know what? I don't know why, but I feel like God has something for... Go on. He said, I ran out of that place. Goes to Lawrence and Darlene Bishop's church up in Ohio. Every now and then you run into some crazy place. Let me finish, because I'm boring y'all to death and I don't want to bore you. So here's how it's going to end. He meets two men, has dreams... They do. They impale one of them. He tells one guy, they're going to take a 12-foot pole and they're going to put it in the ground. It's got a point on it, and they're going to take you and they're going to put your rectum there and pull you down through it. And that's exactly what they did. They impaled him. You say, that's gross. Well, I figured I'd tell the story the way it was. Told the other guy, you're going to go back being the cupbearer for the king. And he said, I'll remember you. 2 years later. 2 years later. By the way, just in case you want to know how long this story stretches out, it's about 13 to 15 years it takes for this story to happen. And one day Pharaoh has a dream. You've got to have a Pharaoh. You've got to have a Pharaoh. You've got to have a Pharaoh who is confused. You got to have a Pharaoh who thinks he knows everything until God shows up and messes everything up. Because God has a divine appointment for you. For you. One day Pharaoh says, I'm messed up. I need somebody to interpret a dream. The cupbearer goes, I'm your man. There's a guy down in prison. Guess what they do? They shave him. They clean him. They get him all straightened up. And they bring him in front of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, nobody can do this. I heard you can do it. And his response was, I can't do it. That's what he said. Read it. I can't do it. God can, though. And here's what God wants out of me. He just wants me to be the vessel that He can flow through. And if that's what God wants out of me, then that's what God's going to get out of me. Oh, I'm going to be mean here for a second. Can I be mean? You know, I'm just going to say this. And I don't mean this ugly. There are a couple of people that should have stayed tonight because they would have found out where their ministry's going to go, and they think they know where it's at, and they don't have a clue. And sometimes when you're unwilling to wait on God, you wind back up in the same mess you do over and over and over again. And you quote me, by the way. I don't mind being quoted right now. I'm not talking about sick people. I'm not talking about elderly people. I'm talking about gifted people. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord, they get revelation. There again, if you unwillingly don't want to wait sometimes on God, you just, anyway, that's enough said, okay? You say, Pastor, you're being mean. I know I am. But I want to tell you something. God has a unique calling in this building tonight. Now, here's where I close. I'll shut up. Joseph has now got Pharaoh's ring. He rides in Pharaoh's chariot. They're bowing to him like Pharaoh. He is now speaking Egyptian. He is no longer known as a Hebrew. He's not. His brothers come by the command of his father to go buy grain because they're dying in the famine. When they come, Joseph seizes one of the brothers. He takes him and holds him prisoner and tells his brothers, by the way, he puts their money back in the sacks of grain. It's a cool story. You ought to read it down to about the 47th chapter. It is really cool. He puts their money back in the bag. They go to an inn. They open up to feed their animals and their money sack falls out. They go like berserk. Oh my God, he's going to kill us. Oh my God, he's got our brother. We'll never see our brother again. Oh my. They go back to Dad. They tell Dad, Dad, we didn't steal it. You know, they got our brother. And Dad, we want to tell you, Dad, that now they want Benjamin. And Dad, like, has a coronary. I mean, he's done lost his beloved son. Now they're wanting his other beloved son. Ready? So for about a year, we think that it's just a couple of weeks. But it is about a year's time that actually lapses until they run out of grain again. And the dad calls the boys in and says, go back down, buy more grain. Except this time, take the money that we had the first time and take another bag of money. This time take myrrh and aloe and take nuts and take a gift. Look, they couldn't... They couldn't afford to give a gift. But they gave a gift anyway. Read out of that whatever you want to. They gave anyway. The dad said, we are not going to, you're not taking Benjamin. and Judah. Okay, by the way, if you don't remember, it was Judah that got him put in the pit, and it was Judah that got him out of the pit. Remember what the word Judah means? You may know what Judah means? Judah means praise. So praise got him in the pit, and praise got him out of the pit. Now Judah steps in behalf of Benjamin and says, Father, I give my hand. In other words, I give my authority. I give the life of my two sons, that if I do not bring your boy back safely, then my life is yours. You hang out with me. So they take off to Egypt. When they get there, Joseph's servants meet them and they confess automatically. We didn't steal the money. They went off town. We didn't steal the money. Here's the money. He said, your God. This is what he said. I love this. Joseph had so implanted the God of Israel that he had never got bitter about anything. Amen. That this servant looks at Joseph's brothers and says, your God did this for you. This is the favor of your God. You did no wrong. He wants you to eat with him at his house. They say he's going to kill us or take us servants. You ready for this? Hang on, let me finish. It's sort of a cool story. They eat. He puts everything, money, double money, back in the bags. All except Benjamin. And he takes his chalice. Now, it's just not any cup. If you study it, it's bejeweled. It's got gems in it. It is a royal cup. And they stuff it in the top of his bag. And they take back off to Dad's house. Now, all of them are back together. All 11 brothers are going home. Until Joseph says, go retrieve them. It sounds like payback. But if you read it, it said Joseph's heart couldn't contain it any longer. In other words, he couldn't live another day without telling them who he was. Good God. Can I say this to somebody tonight? What if it was God saying, I can't live another day without showing them who I am tonight? What if... I mean, wouldn't it be sort of cool if God was on the throne going, oh God, I'm going to show myself here in just a few minutes. I mean, wouldn't it be cool if God was going to go, you know, wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, you say, you're crazy. I know, it's good. Joseph brings them all back, and this is what they say. If the cup is there, you can kill ever who it was that stole the cup. You can have the life of ever who it was that stole the cup. So they start with the oldest brother, and they start working their way down and working their way down. And I see this brother go, oh my God, oh my God. And they get down to the 10th brother. And when his sack is open, there is no cup. And they all look down to Benjamin. And I can hear their hearts melt. Can you not? Hang out with me for a second. Use your imagination for a second. God gave you one. Use it. Could you not look down at the end of the line and see your daddy's prized possession down there? The love that you've grown to love. He's not Joseph. You hated Joseph, but you love Benjamin. You don't feel towards Benjamin like you felt towards Joseph. You've learned through your mistake with Joseph how to love. You regret what you did to Joseph so you can love Benjamin. You with me? And he's looking down here at Benjamin and they're going, oh God, no. Oh God, please, no. And I can hear Judah step out of line and go, no. And they open up the bag and the cup rolls out. And the guards, could you see them snatch Benjamin If you read it, Judah runs to this Pharaoh, does something he should not have done. He approaches him and then asks, "Can I approach you?" He says, "Can I privately talk into your ear?" And he goes and tells him this story. Our father is gray and he is old and he has lost one son that was the love of his life. And now if he loses this love, which we love, he will die. The Bible says that Joseph couldn't contain himself and he stopped and he walks away. He goes and washes. This is the third time that Joseph has walked away from his brothers, washed his face, gained his composure, and went back and stood in front of them. He spoke rough to them. But as the brother began to speak for the last time, it said Joseph could no longer contain himself and he began to weep. The word weep there was not cry. The word weep there was sob. Matter of fact, if you read it, he sobbed. Here's what he did. He ran everybody out of the room except his brothers. And it said the Egyptians in the house heard Joseph sob. Or heard Joseph weep. That's how uncontrollable he was. His brothers look at him and quit. They've been speaking Hebrew, and he's known every word they have said. He's been talking in their tongue, and he's been talking through an interpreter to deceive them. And now, all of a sudden, he speaks Hebrew. And his brothers were astonished. Now here's something that I did not know until I have a Messianic Jew in my church. In other words, he was raised a Hebrew Jew reading the Torah who did not believe in Christ, who has been converted to Christianity, got a cool testimony, crazy, got spirit filled by walking down the road in the snow and said, "Okay, if that's real, give it to me." Woke up in the snow talking in tongues. So here's where we close. This is close. Dave told me that when the word said that Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, this is what he did in private. He calls them around him and takes his loincloth off. You say, what? He showed him his circumcision. Now, you not being a Jew don't understand this. We don't understand that. We just think, "Oh, that's dirty. The guy's taking off his pants and showing himself to a bunch of other guys." No. Egyptians weren't circumcised. Only Jewish men were circumcised. And the only way that Joseph could prove he was Joseph, right, ready for this? He said, "I am Joseph." They went, "No, you're not." He said, "I am Joseph. I am he. I'm your brother." And they said, "No, you're not." And he went, and they went, "Yes, you are." And here's the whole story. God takes a man through a journey in his life to save somebody. To save a group of people. Let me ask you a question. Who is God? Where is God taking you? And who is God taking you to so you can save them? This ain't about saving yourself tonight. This message ain't about you tonight. The pit's for you. Embrace it. Your coat being took, get over it. Your next coat being took, get over it. You're going to get a coat and a ring. Can't nobody take off of you. Hallelujah. So get over what you've been losing. Are you sure you want me to say it like this, Lord? You're not a loser. You're just losing stuff that's not His plan for you.
All right. Will you say something with me? Powers. Principalities. Rulers of darkness. And spiritual wickedness. Four elements. North, south, east, west. That's what the enemy does. When Scripture says when the enemy comes in like a flood, north, south, east, west. Powers, principalities, rulers, darkness, and spiritual wickedness. Boom, 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 boom. I mean, it's like a Bugatti, a Ferrari, a Porsche, and a Lambo. All hit the intersection at the same time.
You've got nothing but a glorified mess.
Yes.
That's what you got. And a bunch of sick guys. The only hope that you have against powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness is one way. And that is to stay fixed and focused on what God has for you to do. It's not how dark the pit gets. It's not how deep the valley is. It's not how hard the trial is. It's not how empty your life feels. It's not how much hell you're going through. It's not how much torment. Listen to me. It's not that your brother molested you or your daddy raped you or your daddy left you or your mama did this or anybody else did that to you. I feel for you because I have a story. All of us have a story. We got a story. All of us got a story. It's different. Every one of us has got a story. Every one of us has got issues. Every one of us can say something. But tonight is not about making excuses about what I lost or who don't like me or who betrayed me or how bad I feel or anything else. It's about the journey. It's about what I'm getting out of this God life. For the love of God, this first night, will you listen to me? For the love of God, for this first night, can we do one thing? Can we handle rebellion in our lives? Because I keep hearing the Spirit of God tell me, you tell them, if they're going to get anything from this night forward, they better handle what they've been telling me and how they've been telling me and what they've been accusing me of and what they've been saying about me. Not with their mouth, with their heart. We're going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray the prayer of David. It's this prayer. It's simple. Search me, O Lord. Try me. Know my thoughts. Know my heart. And see if there's any wicked way in me. That'll be our prayer. In other words, God, how rebellious have I been? What I've been rebellious over? What have I had an attitude about? God, why haven't I got to where I need to be yet? Does it take this long? God will go to some of us. Yeah, took 13 to 15 years for some of us. I'm in my, let's see, 2006 was the last time I was here. Grand Junction, Colorado, preached at an Assembly of God. Pastor got up that night, and this is a statement he made. He put one foot in front of him, one foot behind him. He said, these guys that come in and push people down, they ain't nobody pushing me down. I got an attitude. I don't mind telling you, sitting on the front row with my little wife. I said, bless God, I'm not going to pray for you anyway. I don't want to. I don't mind telling you that. The African-American population in Grand Junction is 3%. There was one African-American lady in the building that night. I go to pray for her in the middle, not even in the middle of my message, 10 minutes in my message. I go to pray for her. I turn around, brother, coming down the aisle. I could not talk. That's a miracle. I couldn't say a word. I tried to talk. I held the microphone up to my mouth. It wouldn't work. I went over to my wife, who had a notepad, got her notepad, heard the Spirit of the Lord say, do this. I want you to call people out. I went, huh? I want you to call people out, and I want you to write down what I tell you to write down. and hand it to them. So, this is what I'm saying to my, how do I know? Now I can pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit, and I go, okay. He said, they'll look at you, you point at them, and motion, and they'll come, and you write. They started looking, I started writing, and I hand it to them. I just pulled the paper off, hand it to them, they go, boom. I mean, I didn't touch them. I handed them the paper. They went, boom. Until the pastor and his wife looked up at me. And I went, so they come down. While they're walking, I'm writing, God never told you to leave this church. You're not to resign. You're not to move. You're to stay planted. That's what I wrote. So I hold it up and show it to her first. She looks over at him and goes, oh my God. I look at him. I shove it in his face. Like, take it. He takes it. He goes, oh. And him and her fall out, spooning. You know what spooning is, don't you? The pastor and his wife in front of God and everybody spooned. They laid there 45 minutes. So for 45 minutes, I never talked. I wrote on a notepad. At the end of the service, this is what the Lord said. You have to do this in remembrance of me table. Make a covenant with me. I said, I can't. I don't know what you want. He said, make a covenant with me. Trust me. Do you trust me? I said, I'll trust you. Make the covenant. I said, God will make the covenant. He said, I'm going to give you something. Told me what he was going to do. It had to do with money. I'm trying to be nice because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Oh, why not? I've not done it all night, so might as well, right? Huh? I mean, he gave me a $50,000 offering, $25,000 offering, $9,000 offering. I took up a $100,000 offering for Bob Frazier's church. And so I got... So he told me, "I'm going to give you $5 million." This was my thing. What for? He said, "If you don't obey me, I'll give you throat cancer, and you will die of throat cancer, and you will be like you were tonight preaching, not able to talk the rest of your days." That was 9 years ago now. For 9 years, I've looked for God to do something. And can I be honest? Because I'm getting ready to repent. I've really been ticked off at Him. I've really been ticked off. Because I figured He would do it. You ever been tormented by God telling you, "You okay, dude? You all right?" You ever been tormented by feeling like God told you something and it just aggravate the mess out of you? I'm glad you're shaking your head because I wouldn't want to be the only one in this building. And it makes you sort of mad at God, like, it can't be real. Now, I love you, but I'm going to say something. I don't care what you think about that statement I just made about the money. I really don't care about the money. I want to know what I'm supposed to do. Because I'm in this little bitty church and I want to know what I'm supposed to do. There's 32 acres of land that I know, that I really believe I know it's ours. And it's not for building a mega church. It's not. It's for doing some stuff. Ministry stuff with kids and stuff. And it ain't a mega church. I'll never pastor a mega church. But I just want it to hurry up. So if you want to know who's going to repent tonight, I got to repent. Because I've had a bad attitude over a promise that He's made. And I sure haven't been like Joseph. Because I've complained about my prison. You know where my prison is? It's my church. Oh, they're great people. We don't fight. We never have. We don't argue. We never have. I've never had dictators, rulers, ugly people. Never have. But that's my prison. They're my people and I wouldn't swap them for nobody on the planet. But me and those people can never reach who we're supposed to feed and take care of as long as their pastor has a but ugly attitude. Yeah, I'm just going to be that. Huh? I got to be real. So God, search me. We're praying now, just in case you want to pray. Search me. Try me. Know my thoughts. Know my heart. And see if there's any wicked way in me. Because I know there's some wicked way in me, God. I know I've complained about Your will. I complained about Your what You haven't done. I complained about some stuff, God, that I ought to be rejoicing over. So I'm asking You to search me. I'm asking You to try me. I'm asking you to know my thoughts. Come here. I'm asking You, God, to examine me.
It was repentant night, and I have got to. I've felt this ever since You said that. I have got to repent tonight. This last 2 weeks has been absolute hell for me. So part of it has been just being sick, but there's a part of me that you can talk to my wife about how I've been this last week. This church was the last place in the world I wanted to be. I wanted to be anywhere but Salida. Said something the other night that I've never ever said before. I said, "Why in God's name am I here? I have no idea. I don't want to be here anymore." And when You spoke those words about being in prison, that's exactly what I felt like. I was in prison. I had hard things I wanted to do, but I had this prison to take care of. And I am so, so sorry. I am broken in spirit. I am brokenhearted. I am so sorry. Forever even letting that thought get to where it got. He's a big God. He's a big God. He's a big God. You know, we've only had the soup. Tonight we had a little consomme. The feast is only beginning. It's only beginning. You come hungry. You come looking for God in all that He is. You come looking for God to say, "God, do what You want to do." And I will guarantee you, you will find it. You will find everything that this great, big, wonderful God does in our lives. He's a powerful, powerful God. Amen. Hearts and minds are okay tonight. We can sleep well. I want to just give an opportunity, if you're here tonight and God's touched you tonight, and maybe you've never ever, maybe there's something on the inside, you're screaming, "I want to know Him better. I want to know Jesus." I want to give you the opportunity to do that tonight. Don't leave this church without walking with God hand in hand out this church door. If that's you, I want you to come and we won't embarrass you. We're just going to pray and we're going to show you some good things in the Scripture that God wants for you. And then we'll go home. Amen. We're going to stay here. When you get ready to leave, we'll stay here and you can come up and we'll talk, all right? Would you stand to your feet? Would you just pray? Just pray. However you feel like praying. Father, You're such a big God. And You know exactly what to say. You know exactly what it is that we need to hear. And You're so very vocal. So eager to talk with us, so eager to be close. And I pray that for each heart that's here tonight. For those, Lord, that have heard directly from You, the Holy Spirit would just keep that message alive, burning message alive. Just feed the fire. Feed their fire, Lord. Watch over, take care of, and bring back. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you shalom in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Amen.